go ahead and call the, meeting to order.
Councilmember Erickson.
Present.
Councilmember Zhang.
Present.
Councilmember Klonowski.
Here.
Mayor Winston.
Present.
Councilmember Page.
Here.
Councilmember McGarvey.
Here.
Councilmember Tran.
Here.
Mayor Winston, you have a quorum.
All right, so before jumping into the meeting, I need to read this off. As previously noticed, Council Members Shelley Page and Maria Tran of the City Council may be participating in the meeting by interactive technology. Pursuant to Minnesota Statutes, Sections 13D.02, rather than in person at the City Council Special Work Session meeting placed at City Hall, Room A203, 5285th Avenue North, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. I am physically present in Room A203 along with Council Members Christian Erickson, Amanda Jung, Nicole Klonowski, and Tony McGarvey. All Council Members can hear one another and can hear all discussion and testimony. Members of the public can monitor the council meeting by calling 1-218-302-5973 and entering meeting ID 131393434 and then pressing the pound sign when you're asked to enter a participant ID. All right, so we'll go ahead and head into the special council work session, agenda number 4, immigration resource conversation. So this is around immigration resources. I know a number of city councils were requesting this, so thank you for requesting this. It makes sense. And then thank you to our to the other elected officials who have shown up. So I don't know, maybe we can do just name and position so everybody knows, because not everybody may know. Everybody knows this one. But so if we can start, I guess I can start. Maybe we can show us. Yeah, his name tag is there. Somebody wants to see his name tag. So I'll start with myself, Mayor Winston, Brooklyn Park.
Tim Thompson, City Attorney.
Chris Erickson, City Council East.
Tony McGarvey, City Council West District.
Amanda Chin-Zhong, East District.
Susan Pa, Senator, Senate District 38.
Jeff Lundy, Hennepin County Commissioner for the District 1.
Representative XP Lee, House District 34B.
John Hoffman, Senator for the Senate District 34.
And then we can come around.
Brad Tolbert, Parks and Recreation Director for City of Brooklyn Park.
Mark Rulli, Police Chief, City of Brooklyn Park.
Nicole Klonowski, City Council, Central District.
Jay Strobel, City Manager.
All right, and then we have a few folks on online, so we can start with City Councilor Shelley Page.
Good evening, everyone. Shelley Page, Central District.
And then we have City Councilor Maria Tran.
Maria Tran, West District. Good evening.
And then we have Representative, is that Representative Samantha Vang, my class?
Yeah.
Hi, everyone. Representative Samantha Vang. From Brooklyn Center, Brooklyn Park, 38B.
And then we have Representative Hillsley.
Good evening, everyone. Representative Hulda Mamani Hillsley from the Great State District 38A.
All right. And then we have Director Tim Gladhill with our EDA, and then we have Tim Pratt on as well. So we can go ahead and head into the meeting. I think there's three buckets that I wanted to hit off on. Well, we'll keep it in two. The first one is, you know, from not from the City Council per se, because we know what we know, but I think from our other elected officials, what you're hearing in terms of constituent concerns. And then after that, I think we can have a discussion about what type of resources can we put together. There's I was talking to some other commissioners earlier, well, some commissioners earlier, and basically after the aftermath of ICE, right, we see that the presence is drawing down. What is that response going to look like in terms of helping the community get back to what the community should be? And we think it's probably, we're a little further behind than we should be already. So I guess we can just, I guess if folks want to go however they're comfortable, if we can talk about those constituent concerns that people are hearing.
As someone who, because I'm Hmong, I have to say that I get probably a lot more Hmong calls than anything else from across the state, not even just from our own residents here, but from across the state, because they feel like, okay, they could speak, I could speak their language, plus I could understand the cultural nuances and challenges that they are facing. But I also hear a lot from my residents here and from businesses and nonprofits that are working with our impacted individuals and families. Some of the things that have come up is that even though we have a list of resources that we're handing out to people, I'm handing out that list too. Many of them who call that list are either getting no phone call back, are going straight to voicemail, or they get a call back that says they're at capacity, they can't help. So after they've called a number of them, they just quit, and then they feel like they're alone in this. You know, some of them will call me back and say, hey, I called the list that you've given me and gotten nowhere. I need your help. And I'm the one who's case managing these cases among my many other roles. And so it's really hard for me to do that. And I think that a lot of us are in that shoe. It's not just me. All of us are in that shoe. We're doing that with the people that are reaching out to us. But it brings up what is working and what isn't. And I'm not blaming legal aid, any of the legal aid organizations or the nonprofit organizations who are serving our community. They are at capacity. They're doing the best they can. They are maxed out already. How can we help them as well? So one, how can we help people actually get help? And making sure that someone stays with that person. So like right now, I'm doing that. They call me, I make sure they get the help that they need. If they don't, I go redirect them to someone else. I actually call for them. But when I've got over 30 people who've contacted me, it's hard for me to do that between me and my one LA. It's really hard. Two is that how do we help the organizations who are doing this for our impacting community individuals and families and community members? They're maxed out too. What are we gonna do to help them? Whether that's building their capacity, more funding, or whatever resources they may need as well. And then the businesses that reach out, they're hurting right now. They can't pay their rent. They're losing revenues. ICE is in their parking lot. They're driving away customers. What are we doing to help them? One, protect their employees. Two, stop ICE from driving traffic away from them because they're in their parking lot. And how do we help them to pay their rent when they've had to close many of their days due to all this ICE harassment and fear? So I'm thinking about those three categories. I know there's a lot more, but that's like a top of mind for me.
I have a few things, so I'll try to be fast, but I did send out an email to council members, legislators. I realize you get less emails, Chief Brad. I've sent all the electeds in my district, at least, that has a list of resources. So the county does provide resources direct. So to kind of shortcut it, we set up a website, and we have a QR code that's attached to that email. It also has nothing but phone numbers. So depending on what they need, they can call that number. We've reorientated our staff, who does this all the time, to be available. And we have funds up to a point, you know, depending on what the fund is. Housing funds, we try to make last the whole year. So we're not going to blow it out in 1 month and then 10 months of no help. So, but we have a cross-functional teams that are looking at if someone says, hey, I need this and also I need that help, they don't have to call someone else. We actually can do an internal transfer. Our case managers will take their information, they'll share it with the different agencies, and then, you know, because one of the things we have to do, we're required by the state and by the feds, is determine eligibility. So if you're living on Lake Minnetonka in a $5 million shack, you're not going to be eligible, but we have to go through that. So once you're determined eligible, you can then plug that information into multiple buckets of, like, is it rental assistance? Is it healthcare? Is it mental health? Or all those different things. So anybody who doesn't have that email, you know, call me. It's literally the best thing I can do is get to the people. So Senator Pav, you'll have it in your inbox if you check. And it was just sent today, so I'm not. But it's there. The resources are there. They are funded. We are not going to be sending money to nonprofits. It takes us 90 days today because we have to go through an RFP. So it is not something we can just spend and put money out there. So it's faster for us to just say, send them our way. We'll get them connected, and we'll make sure that. The other thing I want to highlight is Adult Representation Services. That is a legal arm for the Hennepin County that works with people, whether it's immigration, the eviction court, any across a multitude of things. They would rather have you call them and say, I need legal help, than for them to tell you, we don't do that. But they will help people. They are the ones who sued ICE for the habeas corpus violation, where there was a gentleman in HCMC that was being held without any legal justification. Let's keep it that way. So they do this work constantly, but they also, the people that if people get a notice that they're going to be sent to eviction court, like the lawyer says, I'm sending you, you got 60 day notice, call them. They can start to help you right at that moment, and then they will walk into the courtroom with you. And they do have funds. I'm not going to act like we have a lot, but they could have some funds and negotiating power to get your eviction kind of delayed, get a payment plan set up, put some of our money into it, and so they could help immediately in that process. They can help if the landlord just says, pay my rent and we kick you out. It's got to be starts at the lawyer sending that. I think that's the best way. The other thing I'll just say is, like all of us living, breathing ICE, I also have another role at the county. I chair the hospital board, which if you haven't noticed, HCMC, that's where people go when there's trauma. There's been a couple of visitors, and so we have been fighting with ICE because if you don't have a legal right, if Chief Brulee brings someone down there and wants to sit on him, he's going to provide legal documentation, say, you should be there, and here's why, and we can honor that, but ICE is just saying, no, we don't need to provide it. The last thing I'll say, because I haven't ticked everyone off, I'll just do it right here now, is there is good news today. Everybody knows that at some point, the governor and the president have got to start talking. What I've been told that conversation has happened. They're going to change out the personnel. They're going to change out people. They're going to have these conversations. And over Winston, you've been talking about that. People I know are in this left and right fight. I just don't care. All I care about is the people who are getting hurt. This is the best step today, was finally they had a conversation. They start talking about unwinding some of this stuff. And so I think, according to what I've been told, we will start to see that. But it's not going to help the fact that if kids miss school for 24 days, our truancy people is one of the people you can call, so you don't get truancy. It doesn't help if someone hasn't worked and they're behind the rent. So we're going to have to work through this. If you need that form, it's available to anybody. Anybody can call those numbers. I'll pass it to you. I'll make sure you get it. We got people that are working on this. Thanks.
For me, just making sure folks that are connecting have the information for the legal help or community support help, if they're afraid to go out. So folks are getting, sending them groceries. So there's a lot of that going on, and I appreciate everyone who's been able to jump in and do that. It's just a lot of neighbors helping neighbors, just a lot of grassroots efforts, and that's so awesome to see. Rent help, not just for personal folks, but then also for businesses. What's happening with smaller businesses who, again, are impacted and by people not wanting to go out, how can we help them, right? So there's some conversation around that. We'll see what we can do at the House. We're tracking a long list of possible legislation heading into the session. And that's all I can say about that for now, but we're hopeful that we can get some things done. Other than that, I heard about some of the conversations at the, with the White House, so I'm happy. I'm happy about that. Again, unfortunately, we've made a lot of sacrifices to get to this point. So that's, I'll say it, that should never have happened. So I'm glad we're at this point. We'll see how it goes. Other than that, all of the House DFL caucus is, talking, sharing information as much as possible. And, so if you do have any questions, feel free to reach out and we'll get connected, to whatever resources you might need as much as possible. In terms of the city, look forward to having some more conversation around that in terms of what you all think we might need specifically outside of some of the things that we've already talked about. There's a lot going on. Again, just for the residents, just don't hesitate to reach out. And you may, you know, unfortunately need to reach out a couple times or to a couple people. Again, there's just a lot going on. We're definitely trying our best to talk to folks and to respond. Thanks.
Mayor and Jay, the events that happened 2 days ago, I'm still a little triggered. Anytime I hear a 9mm gun and the noise of that and the constant remaking of that puts me at the front door of my house. That's how real this is for me and my family. Heightened anxiety. So when folks, and that's what I'm feeling from people that are calling us and reaching out via email, is this heightened anxiety. You know, like, am I going to be safe? Even my own daughter, who lives on Washington in Chicago, I think she spent one day in her apartment in the last 2 months because of the fact, you know, that slippery slope feeling that it's going to start with one group, move to another group. Next thing you know, they're going to start demanding people with disabilities show up at certain camps, right? I mean, that's what's going in a lot of people's heads. I feel that. Jeff, that note that you sent today was absolutely wonderful because it had some real go-to numbers to give. Otherwise, what we do in our office is that flow through information, pulling in Amy's folks or in the case of Hennepin County, it's going directly to your legislative team and start to try to, you know, triage that too. There was one that was somebody who was homeless. We just finally, after 2 weeks, it was another senator who brought that information to me. We got it because we were able to get to the right people in Hennepin County to do it. I questioned today to a Hennepin County commissioner, why aren't we... Somebody knowingly breaks the law. You're not immune from breaking the law. If one of your law officers breaks the law, right, they can be arrested, right? In this case, nobody's above the law. That immunity clause that is out there is so misunderstood. And so I questioned, I said, why isn't that individual clearly violated any due process rights there are? And again, I'm still triggered. My heart rate's really through the roof right now. But, you know, Jeff, I asked Kevin, you know, if he could run that question up the ladder to the sheriff. Why isn't she or Mary Moriarty, why aren't people starting to use the law? You know, when you talk about law and order, Nicole, right? Law and order. Why aren't we using that to what we should be, right? We're all expected to follow the law on that. So going back to Susan, what you had talked about, businesses too locally, the mayor of Champlin did a letter. I think you saw that. I know the North Metro mayors, there's some businesses that are affected big time, and they're small mom and pop businesses. My favorite Mexican restaurant, sorry, Mark, it's in Champlin, not in Brooklyn Park, so isn't able to keep their staff there, right? Because of the fear factor. Man, this is Minnesota. I say put a wall up around the state surrounding us. And the other thing that bothers me too, Mayor, is this. We gave the federal government $120 million in 2023, and they gave us $120 billion in 2023. They gave us $70 billion back. We're a net zero of $50 billion. That's a self-sustaining state. There might be some bills to address that this year, as well as like XP is talking about lining up. But if people are scared, Jay, and that's a real scared and full of anxiety because of the unknown and not knowing what their rights are. You're supposed to follow the 1st, 4th, 5th, and 10th Amendment, and yet when you show the piece that says, you know, I'm going to activate my 4th and 5th Amendment rights, they're not following that stuff. You have to follow that stuff. You have to have reasonable, articulate suspicion to even question me if I'm standing in a public street about something I did or something I might be doing, right? They have that same methodology that they're not following. How do we hold them accountable? That's the question Ron Latz and people in the Senate, you know, Susan, you're part of that conversation, are looking at. So we're basically flowing through information, Jay, to people where it needs to go, and that seems to be what we're doing.
Representative Hilson? Representative Hilson? You on mute? She on mute?
She's on mute.
I think you're on mute.
She did take it on mute. The mic is on.
Can you turn the mic on? She can't hear you.
Oh, that was crazy. She could hear her earlier.
She was on her. She just switched.
Oh, God.
Can you switch back to what you were doing originally? Do you want to put your question in the chat, or we can come back?
Oh, she's coming back in.
So, Representative Vang, did you want to say anything? No.
I think I appreciate everyone's effort and also the city for organizing this meeting to talk about our capacities, what we can do, how can we facilitate resources to communities. I think, as many of y'all know, we don't start session yet until February 17th. We're not at full strength. And even if we do come in session, we're in a tight house as well. And I want to thank everybody because the public pressure has helped change the minds and opinions of many of those in power too as well. And I think the biggest thing for me that I want to focus is making sure that there is accountability. I think for us that we need to be prepared that when we do have the authority again, jurisdiction again, that we do what we can, use all the tools that we have to make sure that there is accountability, whether that's, I think it'd be helpful to engage with our current county attorney, Mary Moriarty, to see if they have a plan on how to prosecute ICE agents. The mere fact that they are obstructing justice, I think that it's these are things that are unprecedented, that we have our own federal government doing these unlawful acts. And yet at the state, I think that is something that I'll be looking to, is how can we ensure accountability that doesn't happen? How do we prosecute these agents? And supporting, Attorney General Keith Ellison, supporting our county attorneys to address that. I think another issue that folks have been also, that the public has been also been working on is an eviction moratorium. This is something that I am supportive of. There has been some efforts to engage with the governor to do a peace and emergency so that we can do an eviction moratorium. There's been discussion, but there's a lot of things that, have stalled that. But I think that if we were to come back in session, that is still also an option on the table for what we can do at the state legislature, knowing that many families are afraid to go out, are afraid to go work, and that and these are families that are also living paycheck to paycheck. And they are at risk, and right now their home is the best form of protection for them. And as long as we have these ICE agents on the ground, we need to make sure that we can house our families. And so that is something that I will be working with my colleagues on, and seeing what we can do to provide rental assistance as well, because that is something that, you know, it's not a budget year, but we'll continue to see what we can do. The thing about the state is that we are slow in terms of rapid response. So there are community groups. I think the county is a great resource. Oftentimes, the county can provide that safety net. And as Commissioner Lundy has mentioned, the ARS, it is funded by the county and it provides free legal representation. And so that could be, that's one of the best forms of, if there are nonprofits that are unable to help families, that they can always direct, connect with the county and see where they can fill in those gaps too. Or the county perhaps should be the primary area that folks look to first. But in terms of rapid response, I think if community nonprofits are looking for funding for rapid response, I will encourage them to look into like foundations or philanthropy that could inject those much needed funding. But those are my two cents.
Thank you. Representative Hilton?
Oh. Sorry, y'all. One of the reasons, can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, great. Great. Sorry, I'm not there physically. I have this little one around here with me. So first of all, thank you for bringing all of us together, organizations, local government, state government. And I think it's important for us to understand that we're, at least from my end, how I'm looking at it, we have to look at it from a short-term perspective and a long-term perspective. You know, because I think a lot of us have talked about some options that can address the short-term, you know, needs of our community. And then we also have, you know, for example, what Representative Ben talked about, what the legislature is looking at. Right now, there's not a whole lot of resources that we can direct folks to, right? But then, you know, I'm here in Hennepin County, has some really great resources. And then organizations, local organizations, will continue to do amazing work. But then those resources are being, you know, overstretched, like Senator Posse earlier. And so I think in order for us to be effective in creating sustainability for support, because the whole point of this meeting is support for our community, families, you name it, and our businesses. And so I would love for us to come up with a short-term strategy, and then a long-term strategy as well, that includes, obviously, legislative pieces. From a high level. And then in regards to the talks that is happening at the in D.C. with our governor and the current administration, I'm not holding my breath on that, honestly. We're still in this on our own. Until we see some action taking place, this current administration can switch their thought process anytime. So we have to continue to, you know, forge forward in terms of creating sustainability for our families. And so for me, what I've been hearing as we've been interacting in the community, obviously families are scared. They want to know, you know, how are we as elected officials, city, protecting them? And I think the city continues to work on that and continues to, you know, amplify that messaging around, you know, and then all of us too, organizations, knowing our rights, right? Families are in need of legal support. I continue to get cases where, you know, the family members, first of all, they need to know where their individual or their loved one is. And so working to make sure that they have access to their loved one. And then from there, you know, the follow-up with the family to make sure that they have the legal representation that they need. And so most of these families don't have money for bond hearing, don't have money for deportation defense, don't have money for any emergency custody plans for their kids, right? And so trying to figure out how do we even address that. And then I think somebody talked about, I think it was Senator Powell, who talked about housing, right? We're getting a lot of calls because most of these, you know, families, especially the mixed immigration status families, you know, are scared to go to work, are scared to go out. And so some of them are falling behind in their rent. And that is the biggest need right now that I'm hearing. And they're falling behind on bills. And I'm trying to figure out what is a concrete pathway. And I know that we don't have endless resources around rental assistance. And I want to quickly highlight, you know, ACER is doing amazing work. I had a really serious case where, you know, with somebody who was sick and the family members couldn't even, you know, take care of each other anymore, and they were about to be evicted. And ACER came through. They don't have a whole lot of resources, right, around rental assistance, but they were able to, you know, help them with a 1 month rental assistance. And so trying to map out what sustainability looks like in our community, I think it's important to look at it from a, you know, a short-term perspective, what we can do right now with the basics of, you know, continuing to do this rapid response to food, the need for food in our community, and then also, you know, making sure that we are looking at it from a long-term perspective as well. Hopefully that makes sense, but I think that's how we need to look at this in order for us to really address the core root of the needs that we are seeing within our community.
Representative, let's say you had brought up a good point. I'll just make it quick. Congresswoman Omar shared some information. I shared it on social media. I realize Brooklyn Park is not her district, but I will send it out to everyone. It actually has the numbers. You can call the federal government to find out where your loved one is at, where they're being held, what information, a whole bunch of steps, very specific, so you don't have to cut through the federal maze, and then what information you need to have as you're trying to connect and find out where they are. So I'll make a note to send that to you, but her staff put a really good one together.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think all of us have that information with not only Congresswoman Ilhan Omar's office, but, you know, for me, at least from my end, Congresswoman Kelly Morrison, right? Like, we have that down, but at the same time, too, I know that they're getting a lot of cases right now, and it's just a matter of, and some of the times, we're seeing that even if we give them all of this information, even if we complete the privacy form and help the family complete that, you know, because of ICE and how slow they are in literally, like, you know, inputting data into the system, there's not a whole lot of Congress members can do, right? I mean, the simple thing, that the first thing I do when I get a case is, okay, let me get the basic information. Let me go into the ICE locator and see if they're there. At least from there, you know, I have additional information to give to the appropriate individuals. But right now, it's hard because everybody's overstretched, but yes, that resource is the most important thing to really get out to the families and continue to emphasize that the best possible way for families to connect with their loved ones is through their, you know, Congress members. So, yeah.
All right, so I think we're going to have City Manager Strobel talk about some of what the city is doing, and we're going to have Director Gladhill. He's got resources for businesses as well as housing, but City Manager Strobel.
Thanks, Mary. Yeah, just a few things. So one of the things that we are standing up is similar to Emergency Operations Center, sort of the staffed immigration task force around issues around business, housing, legal, youth-related issues, engagement, communication, safety. To be more responsive. Obviously, this is clearly going to be a longer-term commitment given the situation, so just want to highlight that. The other thing, and I just want to publicly recognize Chief Gruley for his leadership around corralling all the other chiefs, or many other chiefs, and the sheriff in the Twin Cities, and coming out publicly and saying, you know, really what needed to be said. And so I just want to acknowledge his leadership and work around that. And so I wanted to highlight that. Mayor Winston is also part of a coalition of mayors. Brooklyn Park, among a few other cities, is providing some leadership around that coalition of mayors to try to have a voice, especially a suburban voice. You know, a lot of voices have been Mayor Fry for Minneapolis, obviously, for obvious reasons. I know a number of other mayors really want a voice because it's impacting all communities, not just the Minneapolis community. Really appreciate and applaud some of the resources you all are highlighting here. One of the things that we're doing is continually working on updating our website and resources. So if you have some, just like Commissioner Lundy shared today, you'll pass those along to us, and we can make sure that city website's updated. I know that people are getting information from a variety of channels, and so as much as we can pull those resources. And then the last thing I was going to hit on is I know that we're getting a lot of legal questions about what the city can and can't do. Attorney Thompson is here, whether it's at this meeting or when we go downstairs and we do a broader immigration update. I know he and his firm have been heavily involved in supporting cities and navigating questions across Minnesota, and can speak to kind of what cities can and can't do from a legal basis, because there is a lot of actions that cities are taking that don't necessarily have a legal standing, and so he's been helpful in terms of deciphering some of that. So just highlight those. And then I know Director Gladhill specifically wanted to hit on a few initial ideas. Obviously the council and the EDA has not taken any action at this stage specific to resources, but I know Director Gladhill's got some initial ideas that is prepared to share.
Mr. Mayor, excuse me, council representatives, thanks for the time today. Sorry, I'm not there in person, a little under the weather today, but I would say the number one thing we've done that's been most effective is get our staff out of City Hall. We've pivoted, we've redirected staff, and actually gone and visit businesses and asked two simple questions. How is this enforcement, these current events, impacting you, and what do you need from us? And much like many of you have already stated, rent assistance and business assistance are rising to the top. A couple caveats that, as I speak to my colleagues, one, we're not alone. Many communities are experiencing the same thing, and all are finding some alignment in how we move forward. I think those are two programs we should explore. A couple things, though. The need right now far outpaces any resources we have available. Cities cannot do this alone, and we're going to need some help. We don't have enough dollars to help out the need that's out there, so we're going to have to partner a little bit. The other piece, the colleagues that I've spoken to that have rolled out these programs a little bit quicker, the people in need are very, they don't have a lot of trust in the government at the moment, so they're not applying for these programs because they're afraid to apply for the programs and provide the information necessary to verify that we can provide that. I've had some good conversations with colleagues. County staff reached out to us today. We're gonna meet with them. I think the best thing we can do is leverage programs we already have, not reinvent the wheel, and focus. When I think about emergency rent assistance, right now Brooklyn Park doesn't have the staff capacity to do that, but what if we had a pool of dollars that we could turn over to the county, who does this more frequently, and they can administer that program on our behalf that's directed for Brooklyn Park residents. So those are two things that we see as important on the programmatic level. And then finally, there's some policy level things that we can do as well that we've already been exploring in the anti-displacement level. A just cause or for cause eviction protection. Maybe the 14-day protection goes to 30-day protection. Maybe we define a few things that are for cause and a few things that are not for cause eviction. And then finally, source of income. So protecting those residents that might have some sort of rental voucher or public assistance, making the landlords count that as income so they're not screened out of housing that they need. So rent assistance, business assistance, just cause protection, and source of income protection are some of the top four policies, programs that we're looking at the moment. And with that, I would stand for any questions.
So one second, Senator. So I think, so we can open the question, but I also think that we can just open to the general council if there's comments or if there's questions, we can move forward with that. Senator.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. I really love the idea of the city-county partnership, because it is a lot for cities to be able to administer those programs when counties may already have a pathway that they can just direct to people that are in our city. I'm wondering if the city, and I'm not picking on you guys because I've got some ideas for the state as well, but if the city has looked into possibly looking at some eligible uses from their CDBG dollars and the LGA dollars that could possibly direct some portion of that to maybe some of these assistance, whether it's for businesses or for the for homeowners or renters for late payments. And then I'm wondering if the EDA has thought about directing some of their small business loan programs, maybe a special program specifically for people who are impacted during this time. I think that would be really helpful. Honestly, the city can move a lot quicker than the state, and that's why I'm saying that, because you guys will be able to help them now versus we can't help them till later. So I'm wondering if those are some possibilities. I'd love to get an answer to get some thoughts you have. But as a state level, I just tell you that this legislative session, one of my priorities is to get small business assistance programs, technical assistance and financial assistance. Funding so that that can be done for businesses that are impacted. The second is a fund that goes directly to families who are impacted from deportation, who now only have a single parent and their children they have to take care of, where their breadwinner has now been deported. What are those families doing? They're facing housing instability, financial instability, and a number of things. And I think that it would be helpful to have a fund specifically for that. There's a couple other bills that I have in mind that I'm working on as well for this legislative session, but I'll talk about those a little bit later, some ideas that I'd like to bounce off with all of you and get your ideas for any bill ideas that you think could work at the state level. But kind of back to the three ideas I had with the CDBG dollars, the LGA dollars, and possibly some EDA small business loan programs. Would you guys be open to that? I don't know, maybe Attorney Thompson can tell us if there are any uses that are eligible under those grants.
Yeah, I'd want to work with Tim on that. I don't know if I can answer all those questions, but there is another resource we're looking into too that Tim's looking into, which is the local housing assistance program. So we have started exploring all those options to see what possible funds might be available for the rent assistance and maybe the eviction.
I was going to say, sorry, Mr. Mayor, if I could. It's hard being here, so I apologize. Senator Paugh, yes, I agree. And that was what we were thinking already, leveraging existing programs, focusing them. So I think that's a good strategy. And I was just going to echo what Attorney Thompson had mentioned as well with that law funding as well.
So then we had Commissioner,
yep.
And then we have Councilmember Page, and then Representative
Tilson. I was just going to mention quickly, if the city does decide that they want to invest in that and want to have the county help, we tend to negotiate with the landlords, not just hand checks over the landlords, which means we might be able to make your dollars go farther, because rather than have the landlord apply and then they say, here's what rent, we negotiate at the eviction court, which is like the really key moment to do it, because they want resolution. So just an idea that we might make your dollars go farther using that process. Just
Councilmember Page.
Thank you so much. So that was sort of my question on back of that is, as a city to move faster, are we able to look at possibly changing the pre-eviction ordinance timeframe that we have now and maybe extending that or making that notification process longer, so it would give us a little respite in between there? That would be my first question.
Can I just piggyback on that and say that I think that's something that the city can explore, because the state looking at a moratorium, eviction moratorium for whether it's a residential or commercial, it's gonna be some time. I've been talking to the governor's administration about that, and what I've gotten back was that it would be complicated because they would have to declare a state of emergency before they would do that, which they're not prepared to do. And so that's where the problem is about that moratorium. But I'm wondering for the city, I wonder if you can declare a moratorium for evictions because of what's going on for a period of time. I think that's a really good idea.
Mayor? Yeah. Mayor, Council Members, Police Chief Mark Brulee, welcome, distinguished guests. The only thing I would comment on the eviction moratorium, it gives me a little anxiety. Last time we did that, we really spawned out of control with our crime, right? Because it was a blanket across the entire state, and really was a large contributing factor to the incredible crime increase that we've seen. What I would encourage us to do is really think precisely with a scalpel on this. How can we help those most vulnerable that need the help? But the words eviction moratorium give me a little anxiety. I do, Director Gladhill had some ideas that were more precise about how to really find out how we can help those individuals with programs, maybe delayed evictions, things like that. I would encourage us to think in those terms.
And did you have another question, Councilmember Page?
I did. Thank you. Chief Brulee, could you just share with me and the city as well, so a couple of things based on that commentary, is what is the current time frame now, if someone can share that with me, for the pre-eviction for our ordinance? And then secondly, when you're referring to what happened before, could you share with me what it was and what it turned into for time frame, so I can understand the distance? Like, is there, if it's 30 and we go to 60, or... I just want to hear what those time frames were and what they are now, and then I think that'll help me bring.
Mayor, Councilmembers, Councilmember Page, I wish I could give you a better answer because I'm a little out of the game and not tied to it as much as my staff are and much of the city staff. So maybe Director Gladhill can weigh in. I can tell you the big difference is the emergency eviction. So if you're caught with a gun or shooting or a major crime in your incident, there can be emergency evictions, which are like 7 or 10 day evictions. And those are really critical when we see apartments selling drugs or guns, things like that, that have really big impacts to our community, the safety community, to be able to make sure that those evictions are in place. And also the behavioral issues that may be longer, and I'll let the time frame of somebody else in the room speak up. But those key crime-free housing addendum evictions are key to keep our most vulnerable people safe in their apartments because they greatly impact those that are around them, and a really effective crime reduction strategy. Huntington places at some of the lowest crime that it's historically ever been at. We have a 36-year low in crime in the city of Brooklyn Park. And that is done with a lot of these strategies, to be honest with you. The rental assistance, the rent evictions because they're not paying, not related to crime. Like, those are the ones that we want to make sure that we get those people to help, especially those that had a loved one that's been removed. So again, I just encourage us to really think with a scalpel on how we navigate this rental assistance.
I think he was going to piggyback off of what Chief said. Oh. So. Director Gladhill, and then Councilmember Page.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. So the question was there about what is the current time frames. I believe the newer statewide rules regulations are 14-day notice period. There are some cities that are extending that to 30 days. And so we'll work with Kennedy and Graven on what is our ability to extend that and for how long. But I know that's a lot of discussion with many cities. In terms of our specific eviction protection, it's really about the time of sale of an apartment community. So, for example, Huntington Place just recently sold. What our requirement is at the time of sale, not at the time of individual eviction, they have 30 days to notify the resident that the sale has occurred, which gives a 90-day window for some additional protections. So it's a kind of a step short of what we need here. So our additional protections aren't tied to the current situation, just sale of the property. So did want to mention that piece before we got too far. And I would just echo Chief Brulee's comment that we need to be precise about this. So I wouldn't suggest, and I know this, local cities can't do this, from what I understand from a couple other colleagues, we cannot do a local moratorium for evictions. And then we have to go through the typical process of ordinance change policy. So we can't do an interim ordinance. We did check with our city attorney on that recently as well.
So Councilmember Page, anybody has some follow-ups?
Well, and I certainly don't always want to use humor, but there's a movie where they said she shouldn't get pregnant, not that she couldn't get pregnant. So I always think of that, like, we shouldn't do that. I'd welcome this conversation of this is unusual times. If there's any more conversation about an ordinance, and I know the answers aren't here, but I think there's good conversation within that. I think someone mentioned in regards to a firearm or crime, I think it's very different from the folks that are, you know, needing to be their housing stability, right? So I think there's a difference. I don't know if there's a conversation about that, but I'd love to talk about that a little bit more to see what those opportunities are where we could move a little bit faster than the state. And again, I don't have all the answers, but I'd love to explore more conversation on that.
Director Gladhill?
Yeah, but I would just say that this is the Just Cause ordinance that we're talking about. So I think the Just Cause eviction protection would be what you're looking for, and then we can get into the details of that.
Thank you. Representative Hiltzley?
Which I know that we only have a few minutes here. I wanted to quickly make sure that this conversation is wholesome in terms of all the key stakeholders. And I know that we all came together, including amazing nonprofit organizations who are doing the work on the ground. So we talk about, somebody had mentioned about trust, right? We can have access, we can have all of this great resources for our community, but if our community does not trust the government, and does not know how to access those resources, they're just going to be resources, right? And so I want us to be intentional about making sure that, you know, organizations who are trusted within our community, who are doing the great work, are also a part of the conversation. And how we've been going back and forth about this great collaboration between the city and the county, I want to make sure that these organizations also are a part of that conversation. And then maybe it's the city flowing those funds to the county, and then those the county, if they are not able to work directly with, you know, individuals, they can utilize these organizations as well to, you know, make sure that the people in the community, you know, have access to them. Because, you know, some of these community members might not go to Hennepin County looking for this because they're worried about how that their information is being used, right? But if they know that they can go to ACER, they can go to, I don't know, Fatherhood Foundation or whatever other organizations that are on the ground that are doing the great work, and they can get that resource from there, we want to make sure that that partnership is there as well. And we're intentional about including those organizations. Because I didn't hear anything from the nonprofit organizations who are hopefully, you know, included in this conversation at all about, you know, how would they see that partnership working out, especially in this short term, and as we are trying to get help to those who need it right now.
Thank you, Mayor, and thanks everyone for being your elected officials far above us and everybody else.
Let me pay him.
But I don't want... What's that? Are you being a smart aleck, Senator Hoffman?
My wife told you it wasn't funny, so don't try to be funny.
This may seem minor with everything that is going on and everything we're discussing here, but I want to get into the weeds for a second just because this is where I come from and these are the people I represent. But when you work three jobs just to put food on your table and pay your rent and your insurance and whatever other costs you have, a windshield, two windows on the side of your car, your cell phone, the door jam to the house you live in, is a lot of money. And so I'm mainly speaking to the folks that will be, and I'm actually referring to the mayor's two points that you brought up at the beginning. What is our recovery strategy? Let's please try and put in there, and even to the organizations that are trying to help with all of this, someone please come up with a way that we can help people get money for their windows, their cell phones, and their doors, which I'm no lawyer, but I do believe they have a pretty good case for having had their Fourth Amendment rights violated by the federal government. And when we ask for accountability, we should ask for that too, and that's all I have to say on that. Thank you.
Yeah, what's your tone? Well said, Representative Lee.
Okay, T-Spec, I have a question for you two. But first, where is the conversation around the Brooklyn Park Foundation? Because I think a missing piece and something that, us representatives that have been talking about is, you know, trying to fill in the gap between now and, like, what we can do during session is philanthropy and philanthropic money. Can we activate that? I know it was active for a little bit. I don't know how active it is now. You know, can we do a fundraiser, get some philanthropic money, you know, together to help kind of like, you know, support some of the work locally?
I think that's something we've talked about extensively behind the Small Business Center. I think the issue, partially, just to be upfront, is that sometimes when you have changing demographics,
the nonprofits and infrastructure that was there before, sometimes they lose interest. So I think, I don't know if the group of people that has run that in the past is still interested in doing that. I do think that maybe there's some time for us, maybe there's an offline conversation where we can say, well, here's some of the nonprofits that are trusted and can get the dollars out quickly that we trust, that check those particular boxes. Here's a group of folks that we work with on a regular basis. And if you need food insecurity, if it's for rent, if it's for the cell phones, right, if it's for whatever, right, these are the folks that we support on this one and that we work with on a regular basis and we can vouch for. But I think maybe you're creating some work for yourself, but there's probably another meeting we can have offline.
Yeah,
and we can
I'm down with
I think the counselors and then our staff is very familiar with this, right? We can get in some suggestions of people we know, but I would also say maybe we get some people in there that we know do the work but don't always get the resources, but we know we'll move quickly because sometimes those are the people that move the quickest, right? So I think we can get that to you in the next few days.
In the conversation, you know, we'll see what happens in terms of what we can pull together at the state level, right. But what we can put together here locally, that'd be awesome. Let's follow up so we can try to kind of get that going a little bit. I mean, maybe not just for this situation, but maybe this could be like a spark again, you know, because local philanthropy, I've always said, is something that's that needs to be supported locally here. Okay, so second question is, I know I've shared some information about St. Paul, St. Paul PD putting out specifically that residents can call them through 911 if they feel that there's a situation, especially if they feel ICE is involved, for officers to go out there and help them maybe de-escalate. So is that something that BPPD is willing to do?
Yeah, Mayor, council members, Representative XP, that we have that on our resource page too on our website. Especially with the ICE agents wearing masks on their identity, they take that their name tags, so there's no way to identify them. Makes a lot of sense because they're not always sure who they're dealing with. So we've absolutely offered that, and we've gotten a lot of calls. Okay. Tuesday, Wednesday last week was unbelievable amount of calls that people were calling in.
Okay, that's great, because I'm gonna share it out too. So you might get some more calls. But
yep, no, that's yep, that's no problem at all.
That's great. That's great. That's it.
Did you have something you wanted to say about that?
I got some questions on a process and perhaps some different vehicles of funding on the state level. But go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. Just quickly to your foundation idea, it's great. We have been talking about it in regards to other things. Having a foundation is going to be really helpful for Brooklyn Park in the long run. City staff really can't be involved in any of it, so it is supposed to be resident-led, so the mayor can chat with you about what's been worked on. Couple questions just in general, or things that are coming up, seeing what communities' needs are. Thank you, Tony, Councilmember McGarvey, for bringing up people's cars being impounded. So it sounds like the county is waiving impound fees, but so many cars have broken windows, they've been damaged. Cell phones, if people are afraid to get their car, this is part of the long-term thinking of the short-term. I don't know if Representative Hildesley is still there, but I think she was dead on with short-term and long-term, because if all federal agents left tomorrow, we still have a lot of challenges as a community that we have to figure out. So people's vehicles. A little bit to Director Gladhill about, we have some of these programs, but people being afraid to apply for them. As a city, we've been talking about trying to get our communication on multiple channels, not just through the city website, but we do have relationships with various newspapers and organizations, trying to make sure we can get to them. And again, to Representative Hildesley, this first meeting was intended for us to have this dialogue to figure out resources in need. And the second meeting was intended to bring in the nonprofit leaders so we can be prepared. That's a big missing piece at this meeting today, but there's just so much that we need to talk about first. So that's the next meeting and the intention of that. We don't need to duplicate, and we do need to move fast. People are hurting. The rent, issues coming up. I've been hearing about a lot of community members are donating money to people and making sure the rent is being paid for, but any eviction moratorium isn't going to address the mortgage issues that are also going to happen. There are homeowners in our community that a member might have been detained and removed, or they can't leave to go to work. So we have to also think about mortgage help. I'm wondering from the city side and perhaps the county, so we have city billing, could we provide more leniency for certain families, water billing, assessments, HOA loans, things like that? Could we find flexibility for people that are struggling? I wrote a lot of notes and I have terrible handwriting. Okay, daycare subsidies. So people on daycare subsidy, if they miss too many of their daycare days, they lose the subsidy. So as a county programs, can we help people be more lenient with that? They don't lose their child care, so when they are ready to go back to work and leave the home, that they have those. Also healthcare programs, so some of the people that are deepest in need, if they're not able to leave the house or get the paperwork filled out, or just, God, everyone's in trauma, to Senator Hoffman's point, your family in particular, deep trauma. But people in our community are afraid. People are being stopped and asked questions or detained or called horrible racial slurs. Particularly our community of color has really been targeted and impacted. So that leads me to, I know Hennepin County has COPE, so mental health resources, but for us to think long-term on that, how can we really support our community, not just with a hotline to COPE, but provide ways for community to connect and talk this through and show that we're there for each other. I think Brooklyn Park and community is such an important piece of who we are. And I don't want the fear or our federal government's overreach to make people feel alone, because you're not. There's more of us than there are of them, and we're in this together. I think food bank donations, there's probably some challenges there. There's a lot of food bank need right now, so making sure, I think the city is helping CAPI with some food bank donations, getting that message out, some safe places to bring food donations. Let's see, what else? That might be kind of it. Anything I'm missing, Chief?
I can't read your handwriting either.
I can't either. I do think also, just to reiterate a little bit about our police department and making sure people feel safe to talk to our police. Chief Brulee has done a great job working really hands-on with the community and building a lot of trust, and that is nothing we want to lose. Our police department has had a long, respectful relationship with what we knew to be ICE before all this. And that version of ICE did do the hard work that we all want them to do, which is removing criminals that were harming people, harming children, harming other people in our community. That work, we've always worked hand in hand. What's happening now is not ethical. It's not part of who we are as a community. It goes against everything that our police chief stands for and has advocated for our community.
It's unconstitutional.
It's unconstitutional. And as Hoffman was mentioning, yeah, our police department has to follow all the constitutional laws and the limits therein. Otherwise, they're held accountable. So make sure that if you're seeing things out in the community that are unlawful actions, you are documenting them. And there are resources all over online of places to get them, because I do, like you were saying before, Senator Paul, and Senator Hoffman, is there, and Vang, Representative Vang, accountability is a big piece of this. It doesn't help in the immediate, but accountability will come for the people that are harming our community and our neighbors. So share your story, share your information, make sure the word gets out, and keep recording, document the situations, but be safe, everybody. Definitely some of the things that I think we've put out on our website too is know your rights. You have rights, we all do as Americans, but also know what not to do. Don't touch ICE officers. Don't put yourself in the middle of anything they're doing. Don't bring harm to yourself, which we all kind of know. The people that have been harmed, I don't believe, did that. But just for yourself and for your community, be smart and be safe and look out for one another. And I will say, I am so impressed with Brooklyn Park and Minnesota for how people stand up in creative ways and build community and support one another. It's been really a sign of hope in these really challenging times right now. And keep doing it.
that you spot on, Nicole. And we had a little incident prior to coming here. My daughter wanted to know where I was going, and I said Brooklyn Park. And the only reason I'm able to come here is because I told her the chief would be in this meeting. Susan mentioned the community developmental block grants. Those are federal matching. That's federal matching dollars, and it would be, you know, what are we doing to assure that we're fully getting that federal match in there? The other one is the emergency solutions grants. There's a supplemental state dollars that help with housing, food security, and social services. And you guys have spent money on lobbyists, and I know Jeff, what are those people called? What's that stand for?
Intergovernmental relations.
So it would be interesting to see how we could get those folks to maybe focus, because I think if you look deep into those two, it would cause you to ask this next question, which is there's existing state programs that we can be repurposed, but it takes a little bit of finagling, right? And if you did it and you had bipartisan, bicameral support, right, because anything in the House has to have got to have an agreement, you know, and I don't know how, you're going to have fun, though. You get through the minutia. That's what I like about you. But there's a couple, Mayor, the Promise Grant Program that supports communities that are adversely affected by the structural challenges. You could add simple language that said include enforcement impacts, right? Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, then that goes in line with hopefully your filing a lawsuit against the federal government for this, you are. And then the other one is under the Minnesota Economic Development Programs, and I wish Mahmoud Noor was here because he's a walking dictionary on this stuff. There's the Business Supports and Workforce Development Funds. You could tap into those to stabilize jobs. That might mean we have to find an if and or maybe cause statement that you just add in. But that, since, you know, maybe worth a different vehicle to look at, could help stabilize it. It doesn't get you the money right now, right? Other than those emergency grant dollars, and that would have to come from, right now, the top. It would have to come from the governor. But if we could get something, and your lobbyists could get us something within the first week, because I know there's going to be, Susan, hundreds of bills being filed that first day. If we could get something like that to secure the fiduciary responsibility of Brooklyn Park, then we're doing okay, right? And then maybe slide in there some language that puts them on par with Duluth when it comes to the local
LGA.
I just slide it in there. Does that make sense to you two?
It does. I think one of the things we were talking about, and then Commissioner, and then I wanted to say something after that. But one of the things is that you say this stuff so casually, Senator, but I think we're capturing all of this information. So I think part of this is we have a legislative a meeting with our lobbyists tomorrow. So I think part of this will be saying, what are the work streams with this? How do we connect our staff with your staff to start working out what these particular structures will look like so that we can actually get this work done? Because I think this is the beginning of it, right? But then there's this piece. There's also coordinating with the different nonprofits as well. So I can speak more on that a little bit after we do this. I think was it Commissioner?
Commissioner. Yeah. Just real quick. You know, Brooklyn Park has embedded social workers at the police department. They have access to all the mental health supports that the county had. So for a relationship thing, there's a group called FRSS, which is Family Response Stabilization. It's within 24 hours of contact, they will have somebody at the door of the family in crisis. We do not use government workers with badges. We actually farm that out to nonprofits so that there's a cultural specific, so that if it's a specific culture, so people don't trust somebody arriving with the government, we actually don't send those people. So what they go in there, they assess, they then get them connected, and it's free of charge. Everything that I talk about is free of charge, and so that is there. The last thing I would just say is when you guys come up to your platform, I've shared this with Mayor and Jay, I do co-chair IGR for the county, which means I live, breathe, lobby in the state and the federal. And I can tell you this, we're at the federal level, the county is just trying to stop the bad stuff. We're not asking for good stuff, because we've got over $290 million of money that's at risk, and that we have $1.7 billion at risk at the hospital, and I did say billion, over 10 years. So we're just trying to minimize the bad stuff. I don't even want to think about the good stuff, except for Blue Line.
So I want to thank everybody for coming. I know it was short notice, but I know we live in, I guess some people define emergency different than I would, but we live in some times that some folks would consider an emergency. So I thank everybody for showing up to this. You know, I want to speak to Senator Hoffman's point about the fear that people are feeling right now. You know, it hasn't been an easy situation, I think, for the council. I've been followed by ICE, I don't know, 3-4 times. Maybe they run my plates and they figure out who I am or what's going on, but they follow me for a few miles, and this is happening on a regular basis, right? It's happened 3 times since our police chief made a statement. I will also say that anything that we have said as a city that is just in support of protecting our residents, there have been reprisals. I haven't been interested in sharing those reprisals, but they're very real reprisals. I think what we would like folks to realize is that the policy that we have made for the city of Brooklyn Park has been based on not the most vocal, but it's been made on the considering the most vulnerable in mind. And so I know people have said, hey, we want a flood of information, we want a flood of certain policies. But when you are 25% immigrant and 60%, 65% people of color, you have to make policy from that perspective and understand what your particular residents are dealing with. So I think we have done that. And there has been quite a bit of restraint in terms of how all of our city councilors are being playing nice right now. There has been a ton of restraint in terms of how our city councilors feel and what they have been seeing occurring within the community. Nevertheless, I understand that the fear is real. But I do think that there is a responsibility on our city to put together a policy that for our city, to the greatest of our ability, de-escalates as much as possible. Because if it escalates in our city of Brooklyn Park, there's a very different look than if it occurs in other cities within the state of Minnesota. And there are a lot more people who are affected demographically or per capita within the city of Brooklyn Park and Brooklyn Center. And if you don't know, people don't always differentiate between Brooklyn Park and Brooklyn Center. So we have had to make policies that take into account the reality of which we live as a city. Nevertheless, I think people have come together and they have done quite a bit, and people have sacrificed. Those who have given patience, I appreciate that. Or given grace in terms of how we move as a city, I very much appreciate that. I think we talked a little bit to the next steps in terms of city staff connecting with county staff and legislative staff to make things move and to move in those next directions. I want to be honest, though, and this is going to go into my next statement, much of what we're going to talk about and much of what we're going to put forward as a city is going to be short-term. Our city is not, and I met with the mayor of Edina earlier today, our city ain't Edina. It ain't Minnetonka. I can tell you it's not Minnetonka because of this. When everything started happening with ICE, Minnetonka residents, not the council, debated for an hour and a half. If you think about the demographics, you'll understand why an hour and a half worth of comments were made by an hour and a half worth of people. Demographically, Brooklyn Park, when it was time to debate, it was maybe 9 minutes from residents. The reason is because people feel vulnerable within our city. They understand the times they live in and what they're dealing with.
Sure.
So I'll leave that particular piece at that, but that will be a short-term fix in terms of what we do as a city. And point to that is this, is that, yes, I think Jay pointed out it earlier, I'm working with a group of mayors. It includes folks like Edina, Minnetonka, Brooklyn Center is part of it, Golden Valley, St. Louis Park, Hopkins, there's some other folks. I don't want to piss anybody off, but it's about 15 folks who are looking for it to grow. I think the importance of that piece is this, is that I know that people feel under duress right now. Yeah. I am hoping that the trend of this de-escalating continues. If it does continue, one of the things that my own community is a good example. So everybody got hyped for the Civil Rights Movement. After the Civil Rights Movement, when it came time to say,
how are we going to repair the harm of burning the Tulsa, of destroying this city, of keeping people from getting opportunities for X amount of time, of destroying their businesses, their families, their livelihood, their peace of mind? Where are the resources that occur from that? So people always, when it comes to communities under duress, the immigrant community, African-American community, other communities, they always say, let us focus on that moment, and it's often performative. Now, it may feel real in that time, but it becomes not performative and real when people say, that group of mayors, you need to lobby like hell the county and the state to figure out their differences. And whatever bipartisan approach you can do to get a significant amount of funding and policies to help these communities that have been, in many ways, destroyed. We have businesses that are seeing 50% less revenue. We have businesses that are seeing zero revenue because they have shut down. We have people who have community members bringing them food, right? We have folks who are thinking about simply just leaving the country because they say, this isn't the country for me any longer, right? I don't know what I'm seeing in front of me. I don't want this to turn into something that my community is familiar with, where everybody is performative in this moment, and then 6 months from now, there is no political will to get people what they need. And then we turn around and we say, well, why are those people like that? Why are they living like that? What's the issue? What's going on over there? So, I will say this. We have made policy from the place of the vulnerable even before what happened in Brooklyn Park and what happened in our state has happened. We will continue as a council to do that when it comes to coming out of this thing. Those are the things that I am asking the community to very much get behind and help us fight for. We have already been in conversations with commissioners. We've been in conversations with our senators. They're probably getting sick of us. We're getting in conversations with other people. And you need to, they're probably sick of us. I didn't say I'm sick of them. And people also need to be reaching out to the administration and saying, listen, this is a disaster for those communities that are most hit by this. What are you going to do to make this happen? You cannot just talk about the injustice that happened, because people love to read about my community in the history books, but they never do a damn thing when it's in their face and they have an opportunity to fix it. So given what we're dealing with in this situation, I would say, let us not be performative, because I do not want two generations from now, immigrant children who had to suffer from this saying, well, you know, the United States is performative. I want that community to be able to say, we went through this period of time. People in that state understood exactly what we were going through. They put together a coalition that was built on a moral center, but also built on political will that we have never seen within this state, and they made it work, and they made it work for everybody. So to me, that was the importance. That was partially the importance of this meeting. Is short term, we will do everything we can as a city. I think you've heard multiple people talk about that. But I think for the long term, we cannot go bankrupt as a city. We're going to need partners at the state level to understand they have a very real responsibility. Do not talk the talk unless you are willing to do walk the walk. We have been walking the walk in Brooklyn Park for quite some time. So I want to thank everybody for showing up. We're going to head down. We're going to take a recess for a few minutes. Then we're going to head downstairs, and we're going to finish the rest of the meeting. So thank you, everybody, for showing up.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone. Than